We'll have a wee word of prayer together, please. Father, we're glad to be here. We thank you for a meeting such as this. We thank you for so many assembled in thy house on the Sabbath evening. Remember how it tells us of Adam, that he walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. We think of those times of fellowship. And Father, we're glad that on the evening of thy day to be found in thy house, around thy word and in fellowship with thyself. We thank you for all that has gone before tonight, and we thank you for the choir and the messages that they've brought and the blessing that they've been. Lord, use these messages and bless the choir. We pray that you'll give them many opportunities even to sing the praises of the Saviour. And Lord, as we come to your word, we just ask for your help. We pray for the power of God. We know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You said you'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And Lord, we're asking that the Spirit will descend and come into this meeting, endue this preacher, and Lord, work in this meeting. We pray that you'll strive upon the hearts of men and women that are still without the Saviour. Hear these, our prayers, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Daniel chapter 5. And I'd like to take as my text the words of that 30th verse. Daniel 5 verse 30. It tells us, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Mr. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, he died in Mentone in the south of France on the 31st day of January in the year 1892. There was a very small number of people that were gathered round the bedside when he passed from this scene of time, and amongst that small number was his trusted friend and secretary, Mr. J.W. Harold. Harold sent a telegram immediately back to London to the officers of the Great Metropolitan Tabernacle Church. And on that telegram he simply stated these words: "Our beloved pastor entered heaven at 11:05 Sunday night." And I'd like you to think of that time. Think of the time of his death. 11:05 Sunday night. That's one of the details that is recorded on the death certificate. The time of death. And I want you to ponder that just for a few minutes tonight. Just think, if you would, of this question: what time will you die at? I've told you about the time that Mr. Spurgeon died and passed from this scene of time. But what time will you die at? Leave this world and pass over into the next. I wonder, did you ever think of that? Did you ever take the time to consider it? If you think of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he died in the ninth hour. That is at 3:00 in the afternoon. The time of his death is stated, and it's recorded for us within the pages of Holy Scripture. You think of what Paul the Apostle said: the time of my departure is at hand. He didn't say the year. He didn't say the week. He didn't even say the day. He was more specific. He was more definite. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. You think of what Solomon recorded: there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's no mention of a time to live. It's nearly as if our life, our time upon this earth, is so short that it's hardly even worth mentioning. But he says there's a time to die. And I wonder, my friend, when will that be? When will you die? When will you pass from this scene of time? Will it be the morning? Will it be the afternoon? Will it be night? Mr. Spurgeon, 11:05, Sunday night. This is the Sabbath evening. I wonder, would this be the night of your death? You think of Belshazzar, the man of whom we have read in this passage of Scripture. It says that he died at night. The text records on that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Here's a man and he died suddenly. It was that very night. He was a young man, believed to be about 35 years of age. He was in the best of health. And yet suddenly, unexpectedly, that very night, he was taken away and swept out into eternity. Tell me, my friend, if the time for your death was to be this night, are you ready? Ready to die? Ready for eternity? Are you ready to meet the Lord? The text says, on that night, it was a very definite, a very specific night. And the chapter tells us all about the night that Belshazzar died. And I'd like us to think about it just for a few minutes at the close of the gospel service tonight. The first thing I'll emphasize, the night that Belshazzar died, it was a night of revelry. If you look there at the first verse of the chapter, it says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. It was a night of revelry. You see, Belshazzar was a drinker. There's at least 6 references in the chapter to the drinking of Belshazzar, the drinking of alcohol. So this was a night of eating, a night of drinking. It was a night of feasting and drunkenness. The verse says that he drank the wine before the 1,000 of his lords. It gives the idea that he was showing off. It was as if who could drink the most. Isn't that what often happens on occasions like this? There's a wee bit of showing off. Who can knock back the most liquor, the most alcohol? You see, men and women, the wine was flowing, the drunkenness was abounding, and it was in that night, in the midst of the drunken revelry, that God cut him off and the Lord ended his life. Do you remember the farmer in Luke chapter 12? He said, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. He died exactly the same way. Eat, drink, be merry. It was in the midst of his eating, in the midst of his feasting, in the midst of his drinking, that the Lord came and ushered him out into eternity. He died in the night of revelry. I heard about a man, and it was said that he died the way he would have wanted. He had a pint in one hand, and he had a dart in the other. It was as if they were saying those were the two things that he loved the most. But you know the reality about that man? God took him away. And God took him away in the midst of his revelry. And men and women, let me ask, what if the same were to happen to you? What if God were to take you away in the midst of a night of revelry? Let me ask you, last night, Saturday night, what was it like? What sort of a night was it for you? Was it a night of riotous living? A night of drinking? You'd have to confess, if you were honest, you haven't fully recovered, still under the effects, still a little bit of a hangover from the drinking of the night before. Well, what if tonight? Will it be the same? Will you go from this meeting, go from this gospel service? Will you go to some den of sin and do the same things all over again? Well, my friend, if that is the case, if that's what you're thinking, if that's what you're planning to do, let me say to you tonight earnestly, heed the warning of this portion of Scripture. Because the solemn reality is, in the midst of a night of wild living, your life could end. And your life could end so suddenly. It was a night of revelry. I want you to see as well that the night that Belshazzar died was a night of the military. If you look at the words of our text, the words of verse 30, it says, "In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain." Now ask yourself, why is that word used? Why doesn't it just say that he died? Why doesn't it just say that he passed away? Why does it say specifically that he was slain? The reason is, it's because it's telling you how this man died. He died at the hands of the military. He died at the hands of his enemy. You see, the army of Persia was encamped outside the city walls of Babylon. They were laying siege to that great city, and they'd been laying siege to it for about 2 years, and the siege was nowhere near an end. Nebuchadnezzar had built that city in such a way that they could withstand the siege, it was believed, for as much as 20 years. But yet that night, by a stroke of military genius, do you know how the Persian army got into the city of Babylon? They dammed the river. The river ran under the city walls into the city. And they dammed the river and they stopped the flow of the water. And then they went under the city walls, just along the riverbed and into the city itself. By a stroke of military genius, they entered the city of Babylon and they entered Belshazzar's banquet hall. And as DeWitt Talmage, the American preacher, said, 1,000 gleaming daggers struck through 1,000 quivering hearts. That's a reference to Belshazzar's 1,000 lords. 1,000 gleaming daggers struck through 1,000 quivering hearts. And one of those hearts was that of Belshazzar. It was a night of the military. He died at the hands of his enemies. And you don't need me to tell you tonight that this area has suffered much at the hands of our enemies. You think of our province. Think of how many in this land have died as a result of violence, died as a result of terror. And I'm sure many of you in this meeting tonight know some who have died in that way. Well, let me ask you, what if tonight the same thing were to happen to you? Isn't it true that violence is on the increase? A bomb in Newton Hamilton, a bomb in Newry, places close at hand. They say the threat is as great at the moment as it has been for 10 or 12 years. Well, my friend, just think of it. What if tonight you were to be caught up in the midst of an act of violence? What if tonight you were innocently caught up in the midst of an act of terror? Do you remember in the Bible it tells us about Ahab? He died as the result of a bow drawn at a venture. The bow or the arrow wasn't aimed at him. In actual fact, it wasn't aimed at anyone at all. But yet it hit him. And as a result of it, it took his life. And my friend, you could die as a result of a bomb, a bullet, not necessarily aimed at you, but it could result in your death, in your life being ended. Isn't it a sobering thought? Some of you in this meeting have served in the armed forces. Many a dangerous night you've been through. You could tell us stories that would maybe scare the life out of us. You've been in gun battles. You've witnessed many scenes. There have been bombs that you've survived. You'd have to say tonight that God preserved your life. You could have been in hell now, only for God's mercy. And yet you're still not saved. You're still not right with God. Still not ready for eternity. Hugh James Adams from Crossgar was one of the founding fathers of this denomination. I remember hearing the story of how he served in the British Army during the First World War. Hugh James Adams was one of those that fought at the Battle of the Somme. When they were making their way back, on one occasion from the front line, they found a place where they thought they would make their camp for the night. The soldiers settled down. But for some reason, Hugh James thought, I'll not stay with the rest of the men. He went over the hill and he found himself a little corner and he settled down for the night. When he awoke in the morning and had his breakfast and got his things together, he came back over the hill to be reunited with the rest of his men, only to find that every one of them was dead. During the night, the Germans had come upon them and had wiped them out. At that time, he wasn't saved. And looking back upon it, he realized the goodness and the mercy of God. God preserved him. And my friend, maybe you could testify to this, to the same. Times that you know, but for God's goodness, but for God's hand, you could have been dead. You could have been in eternity. You could have been in hell now. The Lord has preserved you too. And even tonight, He has given you a further opportunity of salvation. And I want to urge you, don't waste the opportunity. Don't despise it. Flee to Christ tonight before it's forever too late. A night of the military. The other thing I want you to see, just about this portion, the night that Belshazzar died was a night of profanity. Look there at verses 3 and 4, just at the beginning of the chapter. It says, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone. It's the words especially at the start of verse 3. They brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem. You see, Belshazzar wasn't content to be an idolater. He went even further and he blasphemed the name of Jehovah. He blasphemed the name of the God of heaven. Belshazzar did what even his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar didn't and wouldn't do, because he took the vessels from the temple of Jerusalem, those vessels that were used in God's worship, and he defiled them. Belshazzar and those that were with him, they desecrated those vessels. They used them in their drunken revelry that night. Isn't it a solemn thing? It was on that night of blasphemy, in the midst of their wicked desecration of the things of God, that God stepped in and ended his life. And listen to me, men and women. Exactly the same thing could happen to you. Let me ask you, have you ever desecrated the things of God? You might be shocked at the very thought of it. But just think for a moment. Have you ever desecrated God's day? How have you spent the Sabbath? Have you spent it in a way that has been pleasing to the Lord? Have you set this day aside unto God? How do you plan to spend the evening of the Sabbath when you go from this meeting? Will it be a way that is in keeping with the testimony of the things of God, the teaching of the Scripture? Ever desecrated the Sabbath day? Have you ever desecrated the Lord's name? The Lord will not hold them guiltless, the Bible says, that taketh his name in vain. Do you use foul language? Do you swear? Do you take the Lord's name in vain? You know, sometimes people can get to the place that they don't even realize they're doing it. Become so hardened, become so habitual, they never even think of the words that they're using and the things that they're saying. The Bible says, the psalmist recorded it, he was the song of the drunkard. Can you imagine that? In some public houses, maybe in this town, maybe in our land, they're singing blasphemous songs and they're taking the name of the Lord in vain. You ever desecrated the Lord's name? What about his word? The book that you hold in your hand, do you always obey it? Do you always do the things that God says? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you always keep the Lord's commandments? Or do you treat his word lightly? Do you treat his word carelessly? Do you desecrate his word? What about the blood of Christ? You know the solemn thing? Some in this meeting, you trample his blood under your feet. Every time you go from the gospel service without Christ, every time you go from the meeting without getting saved, you're desecrating the precious blood that the Lord Jesus shed for your sins on Calvary's tree. Ever desecrated his blood? What a fearful thing. What about his house? You ever desecrated the Lord's house? You think of those, the Bible talks about robbers of churches. Have you ever done that sort of thing? Broken into a place of worship, vandalized it, stole from it? A few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, when we were building the church hall, the builder gave me a call one day to say some of the windows in the church were broken. When we came down, they had broken into the church and stole a number of things. Some of the computer equipment, broken some of the doors, broken open some of the filing cabinets. Desecrating of God's house. You ever done such thing? Let me ask you the question again. Have you ever desecrated the things of God? Remember, my friend, let me say to you, as we're here in God's presence, maybe in a night of desecration, desecrating the things of the Lord, and perhaps even tonight, God might say to you, thus far and no further, and he might take you away in your sin. That should warn you that you need to be saved, and you need to be saved now. In Scotland, many years ago, there were two very famous brothers, James and Robert Haldane. James Haldane was a sea captain before his conversion, and on one occasion they were in a very fierce battle, and some of the soldiers that were up fighting, some of the sailors that were on deck, they were cut down in the battle, their lives were taken, and Haldane gave the order, gave the command for more sailors to come up on deck to replace those who had been killed. And when the sailors come up on deck and they saw the dead bodies of their colleagues, their mangled corpses lying upon the deck, they stepped back in shock and in amazement. And Haldane saw that these men were frightened, and he spoke to them in very strong language. In actual fact, he swore at them in a fearful fashion, and he wished every one of them to be in hell. And the men stepped forward and fought the battle. And whenever it was over, there was a Christian soldier among their number. And that Christian soldier stepped up to James Haldane, and very respectfully, he said to him, "Sir, if God had answered your prayer just now, where would we all have been? You'd have wished us all in hell. Well, if God had answered your prayer just now, where would we all have been?" It was a night of blasphemy, taking the Lord's name. Well, my friend, let me ask you, if God were to take you away in the midst of your profanity, in the midst of your blasphemy, if God were to take you away tonight, where would your soul be? I want you to ponder that. Would you be in heaven, or would you be in hell? I want you to think, just as a close, of Moses' words recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." And that's what I want you to do in this gospel service. There's times you can be so caught up with life, so caught up with possessions, so caught up with the things you're doing, so caught up with making money that you never think about your soul. You never think about death and eternity. He says that they would consider their latter end. You think, well, that's not a very pleasant thing to think about death. It's a very morbid thing, and that may be so. But remember what Moses said. Oh, that they were wise. You know, the wisest thing that you can do tonight is to think about death. Think about your latter end. Think about where your soul will be in eternity. And the wisest thing you can do as you think about those things is to get right with God. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. On that night, that very night, that young man unexpectedly taken out into eternity. What if this night, this very night, my friend, you were to be taken from this scene of time? Are you ready? You saved? Can you say it's well with your soul? On that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. May the Lord write his word upon every heart for Jesus' sake.